This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's gone. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, cause someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining me. Today's topic is the Litany of White Sins. A litany is a list of things with a religious connotation to it. It's a list that the clergy, the leadership, recites, and their flock, the followers, repeat. And that helps people memorize what's in the list, to repeat it and to hear it delivered by someone in a position of authority. That's important, and I'll talk more about that in a bit. The last time I talked about guilt tripping, and this is related. It's the kind of things that we're guilt tripped about, and I'm going to get specific about that. This is how the guilt tripping is done, and at the end I'll talk a bit about why it's effective. Why does it work? Are we stupid? Why don't we see that this is a bad thing for us, and that the people who are laying this guilt trip on us don't have our best interests in mind? In fact, are harmful. What they're doing is harmful to our interests. So, you know, I'll start by telling a brief anecdote here about from my own family, and maybe it will bring to mind something similar that's happened in your own. When we get together for dinner in the evening, I usually go around the table and I ask everybody, you know, what did you do today? And one day my daughter piped up and said, today we learned about slavery. And I said, what about it? And she said, well, how we enslaved the blacks. And I stopped her right there, of course, and gave her my view of that. It's a lot of what I'll discuss here is what I talked about. But the very first thing I said is, who is we? Did they tell you who we is? And she said, no, it's just us. And, you know, you can't blame a kid for not really being clear about that. In fact, I don't think many adults think about this, but it's a very important thing to keep in mind. Whenever you hear the word we, a lot of poison can be packed into those two little letters, that short little word. Not always, but you should be on guard whenever you hear somebody talking about we this or we that, what we should do, how we should feel, because that's a trick a lot of times. It's somebody trying to conflate their own interests with yours. They're trying to get you to think that it's in your interest to do what they want you to do, because you're part of the we, you're part of the group. This it's powerful because people do tend to think in terms of groups, whether they're conscious of it or not. And that's how even white people who aren't racially conscious can be duped by that trick. So this litany of white sins, it's not really a fixed list. It's kind of a flexible list. In fact, it's more of a concept than it is a specific list of items. It changes over time, and it changes according to the region or the history in the local area. It can change, and it is tailored to a particular target people. And it's tailored to be for the benefit of a particular victim group often. And in the United States, Americans, the ones that we hear, this list of items, are things like, we enslaved the blacks, we stole the Indians' land, and we gas the Jews. And again, there's the word we. Sometimes it's you. You know, you enslaved the blacks. You stole land. But you see, that makes it much easier to recognize that it's a negative thing, that it's a dangerous thing. When somebody's making an accusation like that and they're saying, you did this, it's clearer than when they say, we did this. We did it. That's part of the trick, is acting as if you're volunteering yourself in as part of the guilt. And the problem is that most of the time, or at least a lot of the time, the person who's offering this opinion doesn't really feel it. They don't feel that they are to blame. They're really trying, consciously or not, to get you to feel the blame. There may be people who feel sincerely that they really are part of this we, and that we really are all guilty. And they're not thinking it's only white people. They really think it's everybody in the world. But they're deluded, because the empirical result is that it's white people that feel guilty. And you could say, well, why is that? I think it's not some inherent weakness in white people that makes white people particularly guilty. We may have some genetic flaw, or through our evolution have evolved more empathy or more altruistic attitudes than other people's. But I think that the real explanation for the difference is that the message is subtly targeted at us. It's a litany of white sins, after all. It's a litany of the things that white people have done wrong and done to other non-white people. That isn't always spelled out. In fact, it is often just left unsaid. But, you know, who else enslaved the blacks? Everybody knows it was white people. Now, a lot of people have pointed out that it wasn't just white people, of course. There were blacks who sold the blacks into slavery to begin with. The Arabs were involved in the slave trade before and after Europeans were. And Jews owned a lot of the slave trade. They owned the ships, and they operated the auctions. They were just as guilty as a people. But for some reason, when people say, we enslaved the blacks, they're not talking about the Jews. That aspect of it, or the Arabs, or the blacks for that matter, that aspect of it is downplayed. It's always the white people who are being guilt-tripped by that particular item in the litany of sins. And, you know, the collective litany, the collective list, also makes it clear that it's aimed at white people. So, you know, some of the key words, I mentioned them the last time, are words like lynching, Jim Crow, segregation. Manifest destiny is another one that's more associated with the stealing of the Indians' land. The Holocaust. These are all words that should cue you in that you're about to hear the litany of sins, or one or more of the items in the litany of sins. And the minute you recognize it, and I give things like this a name, so it's easy to discuss them. It's easy to recognize them. Naming them is half the battle, or recognize them is anyway, and giving them a nice name helps to discuss it and to remember it. As I said, the list isn't fixed, and it's changing all the time. One of the more recent ones that I've noticed is Columbus Day, and how this is slowly changing into Indigenous Peoples Day. And a day, what Indigenous Peoples Day is a day to bash whitey, to bash Europeans for the horrible genocide that they committed against the Native Americans, the Amerindians that were here first. There's a lot wrong with that, but I'm not going to get into the details of why that's wrong, but I'm just going to say that the defamation involved in that, the idea that the people today are responsible for what happened hundreds of years ago, it's really only white people that are treated to that kind of a standard. The the Amerindians today aren't held responsible for what the Aztecs, the horrible atrocities that they committed against people 500 years ago. Nobody thinks to guilt trip them about that. It could be done. I'm sure it could be done if you did the same thing to them, delivered it in the same insidious 24/7 fashion that it's delivered to white people. I don't think Aztecs are any better than us or Amerindians are, that they would react in similar ways. They would start to accept it. They would start to parrot it themselves. Some of the other items you hear on the list, I mean, just use your imagination or pay attention to what people are saying when they're trying to guilt trip. They, you know, we bombed Japan. We dropped Agent Orange in Vietnam. We used phosphorus or depleted uranium in Iraq or in Somalia or in Iran or Afghanistan or wherever. You know, we aren't responsible for these crimes. And, you know, one of the things that bothers me about, you know, while I object to these things, and I'd like to see the American military not stomping around the world and brought home instead. There's plenty of work to do here in the United States. By joining in this chorus of listing these sins that the U.S. military is committing overseas, you're really just adding to the litany of sins yourself. You're helping out. So, you know, what you should do, I think, if you want to oppose the empire, is oppose the empire. But don't say it's we. Europeans are often guilt tripped for colonialism. That's one of the big ones there. The colonies that they had in Africa and Asia. And, you know, the thing about that is that, of course, it wasn't we, it wasn't the people alive today that had anything to do with that. And in fact, even back then, there were, you know, a handful of families, Jewish families, the Oppenheimers, the Sassoons, who were profiting from this handsomely and were really, pulling the strings to, calling the shots, and you can go Google and find out the details. But the aspect here I'd like to mention is what is really a narrow responsibility in time and for particular people who are really controlling and profiting from the supposed crime, how it gets spread across time and to whole nations of people, that it's the English who get the defamation, get the blame for the colonialization that profited these wealthy families hundreds of years ago. And it's and other European nations that are, and the people of those nations who are accused of these crimes and blamed for them. Today, the one of the innovative new things we're hearing added to the list, to the litany, is this drumbeat about white privilege. And there's a whole another sub-litany within white privilege about all the different ways that white people are privileged and should feel guilty. It's pretty much the same idea, just a whole new list of things, and we're going to see, I think, a lot more of that in the next few years, as they get bolder and bolder about demonizing us for what are only crimes when white people do them. Too white is one of the key phrases there. You hear things like the Tea Party is too white, or during the caucuses in Iowa, we heard that. Iowa is too white. The population of Iowa is too white. Can you get your mind around that? I mean, suppose somebody said Nicaragua is too brown, or China is too yellow. It's mind-boggling what these people, the level that this has gotten to already. But it's clear, just making that realization, that it is with hostile intent. There are people who really hate white people. They are filled with hate, and they want to see us gone. Ideas have consequences, and that's pretty clear. And it's not just this isn't unimportant just because it's talk. That's obvious from the people who want to define hate speech and outlaw it. They tell us all the time that ideas have consequences. Well, ideas have consequences against us as well, and they have they encourage in particular this playing up of the grievances of these victim groups. These non-whites who are told that they've been wronged by white people, it encourages them to lash out, to harm white people physically in the real world. And a lot of the racial violence that goes on is no doubt fueled by this litany of sins, this constant litany, because it's not just white people who hear it. It's the non-white people hear it too. It has consequences even amongst white nationalists, amongst people, white people who are racially aware, and I've called it the suicide meme is one of those consequences. In our society, there's no problem blaming things on white people. That's why the litany can exist, is because it's okay to blame white people for whatever. You get in trouble for blaming the Jews, though. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows you'll get fired from your job, or all your friends will shun you because you're stupid, crazy, and evil to talk about the Jews, say negative things about them. And you put those two things together, you get more of what you reward, and you get less of what you punish. And you put those two things together, and you get people blaming white people and not wanting to blame the Jews, and wanting to excuse the Jews. And I see this even amongst advocates for supposed advocates for white people. I call it the suicide meme. I've talked about it elsewhere. In fact, I would say it's yet another item in the litany of sins. The idea you killed yourself, or to put it more accurately, we killed ourselves. That's how it's delivered. We killed ourselves, supposedly from somebody who's on our side. Another aspect of it is, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we get this, right? The people listening right now probably are thinking to themselves, why, this is so basic. Why are we talking about this? It's just complaining. Well, no, it isn't. We need to talk about these things. We need to, find ways to talk about it that make sense to people who aren't aware of it. And we need to share these things with our friends and family who aren't aware of it, who have never heard of this idea of a litany of white sins. Maybe they hear about one of the sins or another, and if somebody slips and instead of saying we says you, then they maybe are sensitive to it. But even when the we is used, people have to be sensitized to that. You need to point it out. And, our people aren't stupid. They've been lied to. They're misled. And we can fix that. We can fix the ideas in their head, these broken ideas, these poisonous ideas. Pointing them out is I think the first step toward a solution is to recognize the nature of the problem. The thrust of the litany, I think the essence of it, it's already been encapsulated really in a single word, and that word is genocide. And fittingly enough, that word was coined by a Jew, a fellow named Lemkin, right about World War II. Again, fittingly enough, right about the time of the Holocaust, their Holocaust narrative that their world revolves around, and our world revolves around. Now, a lot of people get tripped up by the idea of genocide applied to white people because they think, well, in a strict sense, genocide means going out and killing a bunch of people with machetes or something. And that's not really what genocide means. As I say, it's if you took the essence of the litany of white sins, it is, that is the definition of genocide, at least that the definition that Lemkin had in his mind. It's all of these things that white people do. It's sort of like racism. You know, racism is a white crime. It's what white people do. It's the bad things that white people do to non-white people. And white people are mistaken when they think racism is something that has to do with one race of people mistreating another race of people, and that the races are interchangeable. It doesn't matter what the races are. It just you just need a difference. That may be true in some cases, and a lot of people may think that, but it doesn't really work that way overall, most of the time. And likewise with genocide, and that's why it creates a bit of cognitive dissonance when you talk about white people being genocided, and because the whole brainwashing, the whole litany is always in the opposite direction. It's always, you know, all the bad things that white people did. That's what genocide is. How can you turn that around and say white people are the ones being genocided? That makes no sense. Well, the only reason it doesn't make sense is because it's white people constantly being guilt-tripped, constantly being blamed. And even white people have so internalized this way of seeing things that hearing white and genocide in the same sentence just doesn't compute for them. But it really, genocide has a fairly loose definition. Certainly, when it applies to non-white people, it's pretty loose. Jews, for instance, are constantly in fear and crying about this or that being Holocaust 2.0 or another Holocaust here, another Holocaust there. You know, Holocaust is their special word for the genocide of the Jews. What I would say is about this word genocide is that there's no reason we shouldn't use it. White people, even though they may be mistaken about the word racism or the word genocide, that it's been aimed at us, that there's no reason we can't pick up that gun and turn it around, especially since what it's appealing to in white people's brains is this sense of justice and fairness, and it's only really necessary to convince them that it is being, that we're the target this time, that it isn't the Jews or the brown people that are targeted for genocide, that are being treated in a way that leads to genocide. It's white people. And Lemkin himself, in his description, left it pretty loose. I'm going to paraphrase here, but, you know, basically deliberately inflicting conditions that bring about physical destruction of a people. Okay? And it's not necessarily about mass killings all in a short period of time, and it's not necessarily about targeting people just by their race. It's a group of people, however it's identified. That's convenient for the Jews, you know, because sometimes they're a race, sometimes biologically identified, sometimes they're an ethnic group, sometimes they're a religion. The point here being that this looser definition is what's being applied to us right now. That we are being subjected to deliberately conditions that are going to that are obviously bringing about our physical destruction as a people. Now, if you say, "Well, you're not a people," well, that's the first bit of evidence I would cite right back, throw it right back at whoever says that, because, you know, denying that a people is a people is the first step toward destroying them. You know, the people will decide for themselves how they want to identify, how they want to divide into groups. And it's really only white people who are held to this standard that they're not allowed to divide. They're not allowed to discriminate. They're not allowed to organize. As white people, every other group is free to do so and isn't attacked for doing so. So I've said that before. That's getting a bit repetitive. My time's getting short here, so I'm going to wrap up and say that the main reasons that this litany, this guilt tripping works is because it's repetitive, because it's pervasive, because it's 24/7, every channel you tune in on TV, every newspaper you open up, every magazine you see, even if you just are walking by checking out at the grocery, you see all these pictures that they put in front of your face. It's slickly marketed. It comes from authority figures, people who you would naturally, instinctively trust because they're the rich and the famous and the leaders of our society, supposedly. That's why it works. They start early in school, as the story about my daughter illustrates. And it also works because it's subliminal. It's not overt. It's not directly in our face. It's not kill Whitey, kill Whitey. It's subtle. It's, hey, Whitey has white privilege, and Whitey should feel, we should feel guilty about that. As I say, that's one of the keys is that it is subliminal. Manipulation like that is only effective when it is not really noticed. It's rendered ineffective or at least less effective when people are aware of it. And in fact, it has the opposite effect. If people realize that someone is trying to manipulate them, they get pretty angry about the attempt to manipulate. And it has the opposite effect of whoever's trying to manipulate them that they intend. So, you know, one of the things that we can do to help fight this is don't obey PC. I can think of one good example that I've used is, you know, people often ask me, where are you from? And, when did you come here? And I say, you know, I'm from California. And they go, oh, well, why did you ever leave California? And I say, because I didn't want to live in Mexico. And invariably, everybody I have ever said that to chuckles a little, but nervously, because they know it's true. They know exactly what I'm talking about. They get it. And then I'll often say to them, you know, a lot of people will say, I left here or there. I moved because I was looking for a nicer neighborhood, better schools. And I said, you know, let's be honest. I left because I didn't want to live in Mexico. And I think people get that. And that's the first step, is talk about the stuff openly. Plant those seeds in people's heads. Let them think about it. Let them ruminate on it. Let them come to the conclusions on their own. It's a lot more powerful that way. You don't have to beat people over the head with this stuff like the Litany of Sins does. It can be undermined very easily with techniques like that. So thanks for joining me again, and I'm looking forward to the next installment. See you next time.